This message brought to you by the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network and this station.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. Be the someone who gives their time. Be the someone who lends an ear. Be the someone who takes a step. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN, asking you to join the fight against sexual violence and volunteer in your community. Log on to RAIN.org, that's RAINN.org, to learn how you can be the someone.
This message brought to you by the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network and this station.
And it is exactly 5:59, almost 6 p.m. on a Tuesday evening here at WUSB Stony Brook, which means only one thing. It's time for Off the Wall. Oh, also, check us out at WUSB.fm. There's program information, live streams, playlists, and ways that you can help contribute to this wonderful community radio project. And now, without further ado, Off the Wall. Yes, and you are indeed listening to Off the Wall. Welcome, everyone. I'm Kyle, and I'm joined over here by Emmanuel.
Don't touch me. Everything hurts. It's painful to even turn my head like this.
Well,
so if you don't mind, I'm going to face... I guess the listeners don't care, but I'm facing away from Kyle. I'm facing the wall. I'm just going to talk like this, if that's okay.
Okay. Well, thankfully, you don't have to...
Not so loud, either. Just don't talk so loud, because that hurts my ears.
Thankfully, you don't have to talk too loud to do radio. We can do soothing here at WUSP. And,
I'm picking up some sarcasm. That hurts, too. Just so you know.
Well, you're gonna have to find a happy midway, where I can be enthusiastic yet smooth and gentle on the ears, but you won't...
All right. Fine, we'll do it one more hour. We've been kicking our own asses for the last, however many weeks. The conference is over.
It's over.
We did it. You did it. The people out there, you all came together and made this our best conference ever. And the reason I say that is because it just went so smoothly, so incredibly smoothly. Yeah, we had all kinds of issues, problems, things like that, but they were all dealt with and solved.
Yeah, little hiccups. There's a rhythm to everything, though, and I think we definitely got into a great groove. And I would reiterate, very thankful to everybody who came as an attendee and... those of us who had been planning it for months and years and a long, long time, and everybody in between.
What are we talking about? We're talking about the Hackers on Planet Earth conference that took place this weekend at the Hotel Pennsylvania in New York. It was called the 11th Hope, and it is now history. But wow, what history it was.
Yeah, there was a lot of, great talks.
Great people.
A lot of socializing, yeah.
Uh-huh.
A lot of socializing, and... new traditions, a lot of new traditions. We'll probably get into that later.
Yes. Some new traditions were born. That's true.
We'll go into some detail with that. But overall, just it went off, as they say, without a hitch, for the most part. And people were reacted. People were responsive. We tried a bunch of new things. There were some failures, but
colossal failures.
Yeah, but. People were happy. They were happy to experience those, even those, with us. And there was a real good energy and a strong strong support for what we were trying to pull off.
A true representation of the hacker community, the hacker spirit, what it's all about. I don't think you would get that from looking at the mass media, looking at entertainment, or looking at perception in the mainstream. You would get it from going to a conference like Hope. And it was cool to see the wide diversity of people who were there at Hope experiencing this from all over the world, literally all over the world, and all different age groups and all different backgrounds. But we all shared, we shared that one amazing attribute, and that is the passion for hacking, for playing with technology, asking lots of questions. And let me point out, this is Off the Wall. We don't have Off the Hook this week because of a combo DNC and a fundraiser, and we're not involved in either one of those right now. But this is Off the Wall, and we have an hour of radio time, so it's just as good as on the Internet. You just tune to a different place. But if people out there are interested in calling us and sharing their memories of this weekend, you can do that. We'll be going into delay in just a moment, and we'll be opening up most of the hour to phone calls if there are people out there. 631-632-6901 is our telephone number, so make a note of that. And since it's rather short notice, I don't think word got out about this show until within the last hour, because we didn't actually know we were going to make it in time. We still were doing Hope-related things up until then. So if you know people who should be on the radio who might have something to say, give them a call. Tell them to tune in. And give us a call, 631-632-6901.
Yes, yeah. But I had many people coming up to me and complimenting how things went and agreeing when I suggested what I was sensing, that good overall energy, and that was definitely felt by other people. People noticed that everyone was in good spirits and just thrilled to be there, thrilled to participate, and make it what it was, and Gosh.
Yeah, you know, I think we were talking about this earlier. It's one of the reasons why I like doing it, and I think it's a reason you like doing it, too.
Yes.
Because we're not compartmentalized to the degree where we have no involvement in other parts of the conference. I was involved in putting together the program, selecting speakers, but also involved in driving big trucks and moving pallets and making sure people weren't crushed underneath them. And you know, think manual stuff and programming stuff. And I think that's kind of the key, is to get involved in everything on you know, a variety of levels, whether you're a coordinator of a conference or a volunteer who's attending for the first time. It's great to just sort of dabble in everything and see how it all works. And that's what hacking is, after all, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was there were some people that were talking about their work over at the Tesla Museum, saying, yeah, they're working on both the maintenance side and the IT side, but mm-hmm. that's what makes it work. That's what that needs. And I think for all the participants in HOPE, it's very much the same thing. You'd have people working in one area, but then they'd appear and be helping out, facilitate with something that's, you know, completely different. Maybe they were doing web development and then also helping with press or other things. I can think of a myriad of our staff and volunteers that just embrace those challenges, and they see it as a puzzle, and they want to be hands-on. They are as kinesthetic as you and I, and we enjoy it.
Yeah, definitely. And that's how you meet a bunch of cool people as well, just by seeing what folks are willing to get involved in that you wouldn't think they'd be involved in. You know, you wouldn't think somebody whose main interest is encryption would also be able to help you unload a whole bunch of Club Mate or something onto a loading zone. But that's the fun of it. The fun of it is to get involved on as many different levels as you can. And that's what makes HOPE so special.
Yeah.
That and the fact that it's right smack in the middle of New York City, and so many people got their first view of New York City through HOPE. That's in the past, and this past weekend, there are people who were in New York for the first time, whether it be from a different part of the country or a different part of the world. What a great way to see this place, you know, have this amazing hacker conference going on 24 hours over a weekend, and then you can step outside and just explore, whether it's in the immediate vicinity or hop on a subway and check out another part of town. It's not your typical tourist way of being introduced to New York. It's a better way, though.
Yeah, and boy, New York was great to us. The venue, weather was amazing. It was incredibly warm.
Oh boy, yes.
And gosh, the last day when yesterday when we were moving out, the rains came like you would not believe.
Yeah, here's the thing. We had to retrieve our trucks. We had a couple of trucks parked in a facility, and you know, one is a big 26-foot truck. That's the one we actually just returned less than an hour ago. It's big. You know, it's bigger than you would imagine a truck. Well, I mean, I'm not used to it, but I was driving it, and I had to get used to it. And then we have the 2600 van that we also used for carrying other things. We had to bring those into the city, or at least we had to bring one of those into the city so we could do a final load up. And that's when the heavens opened up. That's when it was, I think you were at the hotel, I think. It happened yesterday. Yeah, you were at the hotel. I was in the van trying to drive across the Queensboro Bridge. And the heavens opened up, and not only the heavens, but God himself was throwing lightning bolts down at us, and it was scary. It was really, really scary, first of all, because the van doesn't start in the rain, as that, but also it was just, it was biblical. It really was. So heavy was the rainfall, and you couldn't see anything. Nobody was moving. And then I finally made it to the hotel where it was still pouring, and we had to somehow load a van in that. So, yeah, it's part of the experience.
And it moved in so, so fast. Really uncanny. Amazing what nature can do. But it didn't stop us, and it didn't deter us. And, I guess right around then, a whole lot of people were on their way home, sort of elated and maybe exhausted, too, from so much information and mm-hmm. so many interactions, so many opportunities to share and meet new people and get involved, you know, rub shoulders with people. I think volunteering worked out great.
We have a special email address for people who want to yes. send us feedback. That's feedback at hope.net. So if you have a story to tell or something that you'd like to share with us, good or bad, feedback at hope.net is where it'll reach the right people. But for right now, we're going to be taking phone calls. You want to just go into delay? Can we do that smoothly this week?
Yep, I'm ready.
All right, let's go into delay.
Hi, this is David Sanchez, and you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook 90.1 FM.
And here we are in delay. Wow. Did we make it?
I'm here.
You know, one week I would like for us to not be asking ourselves, did we make it?
Well, you know, there's a limited few months here that we're going to have left. In fact, I heard that the new WUSB board is actually being procured in this period of time, and in fact...
I thought you meant a board of directors, you know, an actual physical board that we talk through.
Yes, mixing console. I believe console is the correct term.
Console, yes.
Pardon me, all of the crack engineering team here. But yes, I believe that equipment has been procured or is in the process. So we're all really excited about that milestone, which means some of these things will be a little bit easier.
Uh-huh. Hand signals don't work on you. Can you turn it louder, please? Okay, I'm pushing in the right direction. Okay.
I'm ready for the calls, though. 631-632-6901. We'll be ready by the time you make that call. Everything will be great. Levels will be good. We want to talk about hope. We would like your thoughts, your feelings. Call somebody if you know someone who went. Maybe if you don't know what it is, call us, too. We'll answer that question. Maybe some other callers will. Also, if you don't want to talk, but you would like to say something about it, as Emmanuel stated, feedback at hope.net.
That's the name of the conference. Yes, you remembered. Hope.net. Well, not .net. That wasn't the name of the conference. Hope was the name of the conference. Hackers on Planet Earth.
631-632-6901. If you're on campus, that's 26901.
Yeah, and is your head positioned so you can see the phone? Because it's a very tiny red light that goes on.
I can see it.
If you could go any other direction, you
can
see it.
I'll wave both hands when I see someone calling because it is right under my nose.
We used to have this thing. I'm going to remember back to the old days when technology worked properly. We used to have this thing called a beehive that was just like this amber light. It looked like a beehive.
It's called a flasher, right? A phone flasher.
Yes. And it would flash when the phone was ringing. And it was easy to wire up because we had an analog phone. Now, with a digital phone, nobody knows how to do that. So we have to look at a little tiny red LED that is only in one place. And hopefully it's working. 631-632-6901. But
please call because we didn't have a backup plan.
No, we have a backup. I mean, we're going to talk about it ourselves. I can go out and call you, I guess, if you want to do it that way.
All right.
Yeah, so...
we have a call.
We have a call? All right, let's take the call. I have to get up, though. I have to walk behind your shoulder.
Hello, you're on WUSB.
They can't hear me from here.
Awesome. Hopefully my headset's good. I just wanted to talk about hope and the excellence of it.
Hang on, I'm getting up to go over to the phone.
Okay. Shoot. First of all, where are you calling from?
Oh, my limbs.
If you don't mind telling us.
PA. No problem.
PA? That's Pennsylvania, right?
Yes, Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. Wow, all kinds of things going on. Down there right now.
Hey,
so,
over here now. Philadelphia. Cool. Do you know Bernie S?
I've seen him around, yes.
Oh, he's from Philadelphia, too. I just figured you might know him.
Yeah, it was interesting yesterday seeing a Green Party walk around and all sorts of sign and shenanigans, but it looked like it was a respectable thing on South Philly. But not to defect too much, but sure. The conference was amazing because even calling it a conference sounds like kind of a cop-out, but the talk and the content was great, but most of all, just being able to, like, mingle around and talk with other people, ask questions, but at the same time not be too intrusive and be like, hello, my name is so-and-so, and then, you know, not being like, hey, what's your nick, and all this, and all that other madness, and then, you know, just shooting grins and having a good time.
Yeah, the standoffishness, I think, is kind of what you're speaking to because of, you know, legitimate things. People do tend to be a little bit more enlightened about privacy and their own privacy, for that matter, at these kinds of events. But certainly, yeah, I think there was a definitely open attitude. People very, very much interested in, you know, going up to people, kind of going out on a limb a little bit to put themselves out there, so to speak. And that's actually pretty exciting. We're all a bit shy, you know, in this community, I would say especially. But you'd be amazed when you do make the effort. You can end up with so many new friends and acquaintances, people you didn't think you'd have anything in common or have an enjoyable conversation with. So that is the true magic. That it's cool to do that work, and you come away from it totally changed.
Absolutely, yeah. It's like less reliant on the titles or the job titles or like the disciplines per se. But if like you get into that conversation, somebody will say, "Oh, hey, I do programming, but I don't really do security or know enough about security," and they kind of do that self-reflection where they kind of are beating themselves up a little bit, but at the same time, right. It's like, no, that's awesome that you do what you do, but you acknowledge that you have some things to strengthen. So it's like, even knowing that you may have some sort of fault, like, you know, maybe you're connecting to a database with an NSA account and it's just sloppy, you haven't got to clean it up yet, you mentioned it to somebody and they didn't, you know, want to go with that.
That makes me think of the term like self-effacing. I think we're self-aware, definitely. And, you know, talking about, as you said, the things you're working on. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Can you point to a couple of specific things at the conference that you thought were memorable?
let's see. Definitely the mezzanine and all the different habitats or workshops, if you will, around there.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It's always different, the layout. We tend to move things around. We've tried things in years past in one area and other areas, and we had a really dedicated couple people working just specifically on just how to locate people and who might be happy where, and the overall flow, too, because you have a lot of traffic and you want people to be able to walk around freely. Also furnishing. We wanted to make sure people could sit down a little bit and just sprawl out a little or do some work on one thing or the other if they're towing around a project.
Outside of that, as far as standout things I can think of, I would definitely say assembly and then dismantling of the whole event, like how active and involved everybody gets with taking things apart, even if they don't know necessarily how to take it apart. Somebody else will just like come around, help with the observation, maybe like figure it out a little cleaner. Like if you're jumping around like an idiot and then you're about to bust yourself, somebody will be like, "Oh, hey, let me help you with that."
Yes. Yeah, that self-direction, definitely. We have a lot of very independent volunteers. Sometimes it can be a little bit dangerous. We have to step back and reassess exactly what we're focused on when you're doing that. But absolutely, I mean, it is that sort of, it's an overall hacker spirit of service, that ability to dive in and also this grand tradition at hacker events of volunteerism that it's not traditional. This isn't a trade show either. You know, we never ever would want to appear that way. It is a lot more like a close knit family, and I think also the people that are specialized, the people that know a thing or two about something, they tend to want to teach other people. You want to empower people so that next time they can teach someone else, and you're able to spread that. Because at the end of the day, we as a community end up being stronger people, and it runs the gamut. It that in and of itself, I think, is emblematic of the vast amount of disciplines that are encompassed under sort of the broad umbrella of hacking. We can hack all kinds of things. And we really embrace that, encourage people to take that on, and I'm glad that I'm glad you appreciate that, because it's something we really work on.
Oh, definitely. And the last shining thing is just like the range of content. You know, you have your tier of nitty gritty, super intricate, and then you also have the introductory layer with a deeper understanding, but like that segue for people, particularly if they're not familiar with the technology at all, to kind of make the technology their own. Or at least introduce them to it, and then develop forward instead of like the wall or the certification barrier where people are like, "Oh my goodness, I got to spend hundreds of dollars before I can even get entry level to determine if this is for me." and that type of thing, like breaking down the walls and just making it distributable among anybody that wants to ask the questions.
Yes, exactly. Hey, can I ask, is this your first Hope Conference?
Second, actually.
Second, okay. Any differences you can tell us?
Really, I would say the operation and organization tier, like echelons above the last one. And I'm not saying that the previous one was, like, shoddy or not well coordinated, but just the development and, like, the, I guess, the cleanness of it all was substantially smoother. Like, it just seemed to go, like, pop, pop, pop into place. And it almost seemed like nobody was really working ludicrously over threshold to make that happen. It seemed like a communal event where everybody was able to just chip in enough to not push themselves over the limit, well, relatively anyway.
Yeah.
Make that happen.
Yeah, you definitely nailed it. It's about spreading the load and also checking in with people. When you're running these kinds of things and you're volunteering, you have to ask people, how are you doing? And I had a lot of people asking me, and I know other people were asking others. I did a little of that myself, and it's so crucial because you want everyone to enjoy the conference as well. It's supposed to be fun. If it's not fun, then you can start having people break down, and then you run into accidents and stuff. But thank you for the acknowledgement, and I will pass that on to other people who I know were working incredibly hard to make sure that it appeared that way from the attendee side. Thank you for the compliment.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
All right. We'll see you at next Hope.
Oh, totally.
All right. Good night.
And I should point out that not the Next Hope, because Next Hope was 2010. That's what the conference was called, the Next Hope in 2010. So I didn't mean I'm going to see him then. I meant I'm going to see him at the small and Next Hope in 2018.
You could say Another Hope. I'll see you at Another Hope.
But that hasn't happened yet. That's a name we haven't used.
Oh, yeah, that's 2022, right?
We need a name for the new one. Wow. I don't know.
Indeed, yeah, that's actually something else. I guess feedback at hope.net will work for that. But
yeah.
If you have ideas for what the next event should be called, we'll entertain those at that email address.
Our phone number here is 631-632-69.
You get it.
I got to cross the finish line myself.
Over.
Damn it. All right. Let me do it.
Our
phone number, I'll strangle you. I will. I will. I don't care anymore. 631-632-6901 is our telephone number. Please give us a call. I'm tired. I heard everywhere, but we're happy to talk to you. But I am right now. I'm leaning in a very precarious position to talk to the telephone because the telephone can't hear my microphone on the other side of the room. But I would like to sit down, so I'm going to hobble over to the other side of the room. If you really want to get to me and make me get up again and walk all the way back over here, then give a call to 631-632-6901. Otherwise, I'm going to go sit down now.
Wow, so you're actually doing the work that I'd be doing, because while you were doing that, I'd be soliciting those calls or reiterating that.
Slowly.
No, wait till he's all the way sitting down, then call.
Ah. Oh, do you hear that crack? Oh, my God.
And then maybe let him get comfortable for a second, and I'll say the phone number, and then you can call.
All right,
631-632-6901. That's 631-632-6901.
I don't know why I hurt so much. I mean, what exactly was I doing that caused all this muscle? I was driving a big truck. I guess I was running around nonstop for, 4 or 5 days. That might have something to do with it. But we always got, 3-4 hours sleep every night, I think. Maybe a little less.
We were fairly disciplined with rest, as everyone should be. I think part of it's the adrenaline. You don't really feel the pain, feel it as you're doing it. But we really like, as you were saying earlier, we like being involved in all aspects. And sometimes the manual labor, production, logistics, that stuff, I really like it. I've worked many different kinds of jobs that involve manual labor. And I think that it is satisfying because you know it's affecting a lot of people. And you know that effort makes all the difference from a production standpoint, and makes it enjoyable for people that are there.
I got a number of people come up to me saying, you changed my life. Yeah, not just me, but, you know, the organization, the conference, the magazine. And I'm always a little bit trepidatious. I want to see if they look happy when they say that because, you know, that could go either way. But most of the times, as far as I know, they seemed pleased with the way their life had gone. And we've, you know, had people turn into lawyers and doctors. I'm not sure how you turn to a doctor from being a hacker, but people are inspired to do things or explore, become interested in science and journalism and other things. So, yeah, you can be inspired to do that by coming to a hacker conference and witnessing some of the talks. I mean, we had people from the ACLU, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, all different organizations, the Open Organization of Lockpickers, Vintage Computing.
The Tesla Museum.
Tesla Museum out here in Suffolk County. A wide gamut, am I using the word properly?
A very broad spectrum.
Yeah, very broad spectrum. And,
an
you know,
enormous range.
People who had no connection whatsoever, but a lot of interest. And that's also pretty awesome when you see people who might be from a country where English is not their first language, and they've made the journey all the way over here to check out this community, or to see kids that, you know, are in many eyes too young to be relevant, and that's not the case in this community because, you know, you could be giving a talk just like anybody else. You might have something to say. You might have a discovery. But one thing you definitely have is the enthusiasm, and I think that's just so awesome. And in turn, it inspires us to keep going. So I never would have guessed that we'd be doing this 11 times after the first one we did, and we didn't even know if we could do it again.
Yeah, there is something really special about some of those reactions that you just can't really put to words. And indeed, yeah, a wide range of people. New and advanced, and a lot of hacker parents. That's something we've mentioned in the past, but many hackers now bringing their youths.
Yes, hacker parents. But you know what? There's also hacker kids that are bringing their non-hacker parents.
Exactly. There's a distinction there, because some parents are hip to what hacking has been and is. Other parents are not, but their youths
mm-hmm.
are.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, they end up there, and it is pretty, pretty spectacular. I think you got an enormous bear hug from a very excited young girl.
Yeah, what was she, like 5 or something?
She was really young and jumping up and down and saying, thank you, Emmanuel.
Jumping up, and I've never seen such enthusiasm.
I mean, it was
wow.
the most effervescent, like, just, I don't even know if fission or any kind of energy form could even parallel that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was amazing and just such happiness. And I like that aspect, that it's fun for people of all ages, and that that they see that. And,
yes.
and very cool. And it goes quickly. It's a lot of work, but it is really satisfying.
It really does go quickly, because that's the one thing that I always notice this with the conferences. All of a sudden, it begins. There you are. It's Friday, and then it's mid-Friday, and you realize, okay, the talks that have happened, they're not going to happen again. They're done, and we have to get to the evening, and then all of a sudden, you're down to 2 days, and then before you know it, Saturday is halfway over, and it's just, well, almost in the home stretch now. Then Saturday evening goes by, and then you just have Sunday, which isn't as long as Friday or Saturday, because we wrap things up starting at around 7. And then you're at the stage we're at right now, which is kind of like stunned disbelief and shell shock and pain and trying to remember if you covered everything, if you didn't leave something behind or forget to return something, I don't know. There's all sorts of a checklist that we have to go through. It's
or you forget to tell someone something important
uh-huh.
on a personal level.
Like, good to see you again, or something like that.
Or good riddance.
Or this is, I've always had this on my mind for a long time. The other thing, it's kind of frustrating for me because I see so many of my friends from decades, and I really want to catch up and hang out, but it's like the one weekend I can't do that because I'm in the middle of all this, and I've got to coordinate these things, and everyone is like, oh, you got to come out, and I want to, believe me. Why don't you stay another few days, and I can do that? But everybody always goes back on Monday and goes back to their lives. So expect some visits, okay? We're going to be piling in cars and trains and planes and things like that and venturing out to other parts of the world and visiting some of you.
Yeah.
See how you like that.
Drop-in style. Yeah.
Our phone number is 631-632-6901. And sometimes a call might slip through and go to some kind of weird recording. If that happens, just hang up and call again. We're still here. If you listen to this later on when we're not actually live, in other words, past 7 p.m. Eastern time, write to us instead, otw@2600.com, because we can't take your call, obviously, if we're not here. But we would like to hear from you if you were part of the HOPE Conference or if you'd like to be part of the next HOPE Conference, and by next, obviously, lowercase n, not the capital one.
Or if you don't know what the HOPE Conference is.
Yes, what in God's name are these people talking about? And why aren't we talking about other things in the world? Well, you know what? The world, it's so weird because we're doing all this and passing complete strangers in hotel elevators and hallways. And did you hear what Trump just said? Or where's the latest terrorist attack? All these things going on in the world that we're normally riveted by and we'd be focused on in this hour. And we've just sort of had to put all that on hold because we have our own thing going on. I have 1.5 conventions to catch up on than C-SPAN that I recorded. So I want to see the Ted Cruz speech I've been hearing so much about. That guy actually won my respect, at least for a little while. He went up in front of the entire RNC and did not endorse Donald Trump and basically said, vote your conscience, which when you think about it is a really, why would anybody boo that statement? Of course you should vote your conscience, and if you guys really believed in Donald Trump, the two things would be the same. You'd be voting your conscience and you'd be voting for Donald Trump. But when they hear that, they know that people are not who have a conscience are not going to vote for Donald Trump. So Ted Cruz got roundly booed and criticized. And I think it took a lot of guts to do what he did. And he explained it. He said, I'm not in the habit of supporting people, endorsing people who insult my family.
Yeah, well, his family doesn't even like him, so.
It doesn't matter.
Go figure.
It doesn't matter. The point is he has some values. He stood up for them, and he stood up against a mob. And if you can do that, you have my respect, whether you want it or not. I never thought I'd be saying I respect Ted Cruz, but right now I do for doing that. And I think there are a lot of Republicans out there. Can I have one of those, please?
Yeah, I'm putting – I got some breath mints here.
Yeah, I really could use
I'm really sorry, everyone.
You only give me one for. Come on. You know I need a
listening.
Lot more than one.
All right, here you go. And then you get
thank
two.
You.
All
thank
right,
you
we each
much.
Get two. Yeah, it's been a long weekend, so we might have got fresh breath for the radio here.
Yeah.
Go on. I'm listening.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, so anyway, hearing about things like that that were going on, and the beginning of the Democratic Convention, which we still have to catch up to that. The world is fascinating. It's going to continue to be fascinating, and we'll continue to be focused on it. You know, one thing, I didn't mean to actually get involved in any of this. Social engineering panel, that's where we reach out and make phone calls and try to show how security is bad and people tell you things they're not supposed to tell you. And the idea this time was to just more or less show how easy it is to get information. Neither exercise resulted in anything actually being messed up or security details being leaked or anything like that. The idea was to show how that could happen with a couple more steps. One thing we did was we noticed notated the relationship between a company called Bartlett and Starbucks. We had noticed these 18-wheel trucks that park outside Starbucks in the middle of the night, and we came to the conclusion after doing a little bit of research that these are the people who supply Starbucks, and they get in there in the middle of the night by themselves. So the idea was for us to call a Starbucks and say, yeah, you know what, we're Bartlett here, which, by saying that, okay, I trust you, you use the right word, you use the word Bartlett, that means that you know of the relationship. And we were going to ask them to do something that that might not be the smartest thing in the world. We were having trouble getting in. Maybe you could help us get in the middle of the night. Maybe leave a key someplace under a mat that we can. We wouldn't have actually let them do that. The idea was to show how easy it is to get somebody to do that. But the one that I called live on stage, and again, none of this is rehearsed. We're getting the phone numbers as we're on stage. The one I called, they get their deliveries while they're still open. So I wasn't busted, but I wanted to also show how to gracefully back out when obviously it's not going to work. So I called a Starbucks that got their Bartlett deliveries while they were still open. There was never a need for them to give me access afterwards. So I said, oh, you know what? I have the wrong store. Sorry for the inconvenience. No suspicion raised.
It was a 24-hour Starbucks.
I was an idiot for calling that one. Okay,
who knew?
I should have called the one that closed at 9 o'clock.
How many 24-hour Starbucks are there?
Well, actually, you know, since our panel was Saturday night at 9 o'clock, I guess it was a little bit of a challenge because some Starbucks were closing already. And I just should have called one on the West. No, I couldn't call one on the West Coast because Bartlett is only a Northeast thing. See, it wouldn't have worked.
I guess this isn't that mind-blowing, but consider that there is a Starbucks open all the time everywhere in the world, at least.
At some point.
Somewhere.
That's true, absolutely.
That's wild.
The other thing that I got involved in just as an exercise was, yeah, of course, the Trump campaign. I can't not touch that. The problem is, Trump is so high profile, it's almost impossible to do anything and get away with it because everybody's trying to do something, as they should. And hopefully now we can focus our attention on how to stop this guy. But let's get into that later. And this particular guy.
Well, you know, just that you mentioned he's so high profile.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One thing I noticed with some of the shows is that a lot of the journalists are getting more access. And I think that's going to continue because it's the binary. It's less about all the different candidates and more about him.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps he's going to be a bit more on his toes, hopefully.
Yeah, right. You believe that for a second?
I'm telling myself that.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care at all. And, you know, the people like somebody who doesn't care. Go ahead.
631-632-6901. If you're on campus, 2-6901. If you're out of the country, it's +1-631-632-0116311.
Everybody gets this wrong. No, you don't dial 011 overseas.
No.
In most European countries, you dial 00, then 1-631-632.
So 00 is the plus.
Yeah, fine. Or from a cell phone, you dial the plus. You have to figure out how to get the plus to show up on your phone.
So but +1.
1 is the country code. 631 is the area code. 632 is the exchange. 6901 is the extension.
You want to know why we're number one?
No. Are we number one?
It's a bad year for that.
Oh, why we have country code 1?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We don't because we share it with Canada. In fact, we're one of the few countries that shares a country code. We don't even have our own country code. So it's not as good as it sounds.
You're right.
Yeah.
North America is number one. That's because...
No, that's not true either because Mexico is part of North America. And I think their country code is 5-3 or something.
Is it 5-3?
It's something like that.
How come they're not 1-2?
1-2. That would be confusing. Can we get on with what I was trying to say about the social engineering here? So I got involved in the Trump campaign only because I wanted to do something. I felt, you know...
Obligated.
Show us. So we looked around and tried to find some bit of information that we could pursue. What I thought would be fun would be to look for an appearance, a future appearance of Donald Trump, and try to mess with that somehow. And sure enough, this was Saturday night. I saw on the next day's Meet the Press, Donald Trump was going to be on, and Bernie Sanders was going to be on. So my idea was, okay, you know what? Let's call NBC and say we're from the Trump campaign. Can you please flip those two segments? Because Mr. Trump wants to have the final word. Bernie Sanders can go first. And see if we could actually pull that off. And the thing is, you know, I was able to find an internal phone list that got me the exact extension for Meet the Press in Washington, D.C. And, you know, I would have left a message there. I started to leave a message. But then we got all this feedback from all the speakers because we're talking to 1,000 people in a room. So it was kind of hard to back out of that gracefully. It just sounded like, and I don't think the voicemail was hearing me properly. So that didn't really work either. We decided to try it from a different angle. We decided to try to call the Trump campaign and tell them that NBC wanted to reschedule this, reschedule the order. And what we did was we got another list of operatives within the Trump campaign, and we found somebody whose first name was Hope. And, you know, being at the Hope conference and a target whose name was Hope, it was just so perfect. She was the, I think, the communications director, still is the communications director. Actually, maybe she's not anymore. I don't know. But as of Saturday night, she was. And we found information about her. There was a nice, big, glowing article. And one of the things in the article said that when she's not traveling around, she lives with her sister, Mary Grace, in a particular part of Connecticut. And, okay, you just gave us information there. It wasn't long before we were able to get the address of Mary Grace's house. Not the phone number, but just the address. But then we plugged the address into something. And look at that. There's Hope's number right there. So we called that number. And here's the really crazy, ironic part. Because we had the phone line installed and registered for us at the conference, the caller ID said Hope. So Mary Grace got this phone call at something like 9:30 at night on Saturday from Hope, and it was me on the other end saying, this is, I'm calling from NBC, we're looking for Hope, and she was very angry, and I feel bad about this, but I don't know if I woke her up or what, but she said, how can you call at this hour of the night? And, you know, 9:30 really isn't that late, but I guess it's past the cutoff for her, but she might have just seen Hope calling and gotten angry at that. I just got the feeling that they're not on the best of terms. But that's part of the information that you learn, I suppose. It didn't really work, but it was fun.
No, it showed the structure, though. So it showed the structure, and we were able to describe pretext and sort of hacking decision-making, because that's really what you're doing, is predicting or anticipating the sort of decision process given a set of circumstances that you might present as someone calling, and then exploiting what people tend to do out of generosity to help someone or whatever it may be. And I think a lot of people got that.
I hope so. A lot of people complimented us on the social engineering panel and said they learned a lot. It's not about getting something to happen. It's about showing how it all works, how it all pieces together, the methods of doing it. But I do feel bad calling a person at their home and annoying them, because that's not usually what I like doing. I like calling people at their places of employment and annoying them there.
Right, because everybody knows work is annoying.
Well, yeah, it's also that's where you want people to let down their guard. It's just with the Trump campaign, I have to suspend those rules just a little bit, because these are dire times. This is a real crisis that we're facing. I'm not exaggerating. You know, there's a lot of people. We saw some television about this where people are talking about how seriously people are taking it. People aren't taking it seriously enough.
Not at all.
This is neo-fascism at our doorstep. And if Trump is elected, you know, I've been around for the election of Reagan. I've been around for the election or appointment of George W. Bush. Both of those are really bad ideas and unqualified people taking the position. But this is dangerous. This goes beyond that.
It's a whole different level. It's out of this world.
Mm-hmm. Which is where you want to be on January 7th if that day ever comes and Trump is the one in charge. Oh, my God. I just can't even. What's wrong with this country? How did we get here?
It actually could be good for private space. I mean, it really take off then.
Private space program, you mean?
Yeah.
People will be flocking to go to Mars.
They're probably already, like, bumping up many different schedules for anticipating the Trump outcome, Trump outcome.
We should see if there's openings, you know, if we can still get on that first flight out.
Well, we should talk to Scaled Composites, maybe go down to the spaceport, you know, see if Mr. Rattan and all those guys down there will, you know, find us a little cargo hold,
mm-hmm,
or,
mm-hmm.
You know, just let us tag along. Maybe maybe we can get the down payment on the hacker spaceship. We
hacker
know some
spaceship. Well, I like that. Do you know you just made up a thing? A hacker spaceship. Spaceship. Hacker space.
Hacker spacecraft, hacker whatever. Whatever it may be,
yeah.
But
wow.
I really think that, and I mean, I'm not saying we don't terraform here and really rethink megacities on Earth. We can do that too, but if we can get some vehicles going, maybe talk to some of my favorite vehicle corporations, maybe they could move away from terrestrial travel and start getting their robots to build some spacecraft. You know, all kinds of things would be possible. We'd actually have we'd have vehicles and the right kinds of people to operate them.
But let's come back down to Earth and speak of hackers on planet Earth a little more. If there are any other people out there who were part of the conference, attendees, coordinators, people who missed the conference and really want to be a part of the next one or want to see it online, you know, the whole thing was online and was streamed live, thanks to the people at the Internet Society and the guys who got the network together, 10 gigabit network we had. It's more than any other hacker conference in this country. 10 gigabit. It's amazing. Our phone number is 631-632-6901. Only have a few minutes left. If you have any comments or memories or critiques or whatnot, anything you want to share with us, 631-632-6901. But, Kyle, the network, that was really an accomplishment to do that twice.
Did you like it?
I thought it was really, really cool. You know what was cool about it? I'm not a network technician. Yeah, newsflash there.
I think I know what you're going to say, but
yeah, what I'm going to say is that it was really cool because of the IP blocks that were assigned. People going to Google would go to, the default would be the Netherlands. Google.nl is what would pop up. A lot of people were looking at their phones, and all of a sudden their phones appeared to be either in Las Vegas or San Francisco because
the access points were associated with geographical coordinates for other events that they had been used at.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's because the amalgamation of we're basically putting all kinds of necessary elements when you're building an autonomous system, a network like that, because basically we were our own ISP.
Yes.
And I think that was actually very much true this time. We were actually doing BGP, which is what ISPs use and so on and so forth. Gets kind of technical, but it is about getting all those different elements. There's certain things that we jettison, though, that actually make it a lot easier, like we don't do firewalls. Everybody gets an open connection.
Yeah.
Your device has to be safe, and you have to be browsing and using apps realizing that, and hopefully you use apps that have their own encryption.
Yeah,
but that helps us because then we can focus on just the real essentials.
We had a theme throughout the weekend of use more bandwidth because there was so much bandwidth, and we never used all of it. And the amazing thing is, with that amount of bandwidth, we could have done all kinds of destructive things. And I said this in the middle of the conference, the fact that Donald Trump's website is still up in the first place.
We have a call.
I'm speaking. Okay, go ahead.
It's gone.
You know, next time, press the button and then say we have a call.
I'm sorry.
Rather than derail my sentence.
Please call back. Go on.
Should I even start again?
Yes, please.
Okay.
I'm tired.
We have all this bandwidth. And I said in the middle of the conference that the fact that Donald Trump's website is still up and untouched, with us having 10 gigs of data we could be blasting their way.
They're calling back.
That is an amazing miracle.
Hello, you're off the wall.
Take the call. I'm going to get up.
Good evening, gentlemen.
That sounds like Bobson from
Bulgaria. Hey, Bobson, how you doing? How are your peppers doing?
Wait,
you got any new peppers growing out there?
Tell Bobson I'm getting up and I'm going over there.
Well, not yet this year, but I am considering getting some maybe.
Yeah, I haven't started growing any peppers yet, but I was really impressed that at how well you were doing with that. What's new in Bulgaria, in Sofia? I don't know if you're in Sofia, aren't you?
But that was years ago, and I only did it 1 year for three pots and all that, so it's not.
Oh, it's a cool idea, and you inspired me. So what's on your mind? Did you catch any of the streams? Did you virtually attend Hope?
Well, not really. I listened to the radio for a little bit, but the Radio Stadler, but other than that, I have yet to see any of the talks.
I just got here. Good to hear from you. I think you weren't at the conference, were you?
No, not this time.
Didn't see you, but... yeah, well, it will be all online, I think, and probably
the audio first, and slowly but surely we will get encodings, probably down conversions of our archives copies, and you'll at least be able to see a little bit of the video in some resolution or another, and hear the fantastic talks. So we'll do that as soon as we can, but it does take a little bit of time because of all the loose ends that we have to deal with. And of course...
And you have a lot of sleep to catch up on, it would seem.
How did you know?
How did you know that? Wow.
It sounds like you've been to a hacker conference before.
Anyhow, I'm happy to hear you reached the use more bandwidth situation.
Yeah, we were we had a little bit of that at HopeX, but we were definitely saying that this time and quite serious about it too.
Well, also I should point out that we had a denial of service attack against us. I don't think there were any that came from us, but we looked at the graph of the denial, and it was a big denial of service attack against us, and it used a little less than a tenth of the bandwidth that we had. So we said to them as well, you use more bandwidth.
Yes, attackers, if you're going to do this, you better get serious, because we were able to put together quite a fantastic internet resource that I think a lot of people got something out of. And it really, it comes from some of the events that I've attended with you, Bobson. Those moments where we're able to rub shoulders with other hackers around the world who are using infrastructure in interesting ways, and that really inspired me to make this something that happened that happens here in the U.S. in part because of the history that I know where a lot of this stuff came from as far as the development, and I think that we deserve it, and I want to see American hackers using these resources in creative ways, and I think that we made another firm step towards that.
Hey, Bobson, can I ask what's the next hacker event you're planning on attending?
Oh, let's see, there's something in early November, although there's two things in early November, one of which doesn't qualify. And
I know EMF Camp is coming up in the UK. That's, I think, first week of August.
Yes, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it there, but it sounds promising.
Yes.
Bobson, I have to go to the other side of the room now. I better start now if I'm going to get there.
Yeah, we're running out of time, Bobson. I wish we could keep talking.
All right.
Is there anything else on your mind or any other news from your part of the world you'd like to share, hacker-related or not?
Well,
maybe next time. Maybe write us a letter or give us a call back. We'll probably be on the air next week, as usual. So,
back.
All right.
Thanks a lot for your call, Bobson, and we'll speak with you again very soon.
Kyle.
Catch up on sleep and all that.
Thank you, Bobson. Yes, we will.
Can't hear me from over here, but let me just say that we have to leave delay now. Our delay window is closing. Let's do this smoothly and not talk over ourselves.
Okay, that wasn't too bad. I also have a news bulletin for you, Kyle.
Oh?
Yes, a news bulletin. This is a Donald Trump tweet. Sorry, they come in at the same place.
That's not news.
Democrat Hillary Clinton becomes the first woman in U.S. history to be nominated for president by any major party. Yeah, that just happened. That happened while we were talking to Bobson.
Say that one more time for effect.
Because it wasn't effective the first time. No, no problem.
I think she's worth a little effect there.
Democrat Hillary Clinton becomes the first woman in U.S. history to be nominated for president by any major party. Is that better? Did I say it?
That was what
I
wanted.
I tried to emphasize a little bit. Anyway, the point is, it's history. History is being made right now, and we're going to be following it as well. Speaking of history, we made allusion to some new traditions that were started, which is why you might notice this music playing in the background that should be playing by now. That's our outro. There you go. Yes, we had a... not that loud. We had a flash disco, I guess is what you call it, break out at one of our sessions. We had this new tradition that was started called Hackers Got Talent, which is basically you've got some kind of talent one way or another, come up before a bunch of people and show it. And we had a wide variety of different hacker talents, from Rubik's Cubes to comedy routines to songs to readings. And then at the end, the whole thing got derailed by somebody who came bursting in. What would you call that outfit they had on?
An inflatable jumpsuit kind of thing.
It was really most bizarre. Was it flashing?
There were LEDs around her waist
too.
Inside it. Yes, it was spectacular.
But Karis, our AV head, she instantly just went into manual disco mode and was able to get strobes and music and everything just going like that, and it just went on and on and on. It was incredible.
She says she was fully channeling like 90s rave tech that just on the fly. I asked her if it was programmed, and absolutely, as you said, it was all manual. So
that's the kind of unpredictability you get at a whole conference, and it's magic.
Thanks everyone for that, and go out there and change the world yourselves.
Exactly, yes.
It's there for you.
It's there for that purpose, and we'll be back next week. More recovered, hopefully. I'll be able to move around a little more freely. Good night. But now-